With the Iranian arms agreement, our world took a giant leap towards a nuclear apocalypse. The days of the Antichrist and the time of Jacob's trouble, it's being called the greatest foreign policy disaster in history. But you're about to hear from someone who believes it's not too late to derail it. You don't want to miss this.
And I'm convinced that if this framework leads to a final comprehensive deal, it will make our country, our allies, and our world safer. If Congress kills this deal, not based on expert analysis and without offering any reasonable alternative, then it's the United States that will be blamed for the failure of diplomacy. International unity will collapse, and the path to conflict will widen.
We need to never forget that Iran is the leading top, there's no one in their league, top state sponsor of terrorism in the world today.
This is Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. Jan's guest today, former Minnesota Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann. Michelle's here to discuss current events leading up to the appearance of the Antichrist and the second coming of our Lord and Savior. America's changing. It's important to understand how these changes will affect the entire planet. Michelle has some encouraging words about how the church can remain strong and focused in this changing world. Now let's join Jan Markell and Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann.
And welcome to the program. And I'm doing sort of part two this week. Last week we talked to Avi Lipkin. We talked quite a bit about the Iran deal and other Mideast issues. And I'm picking up on that today. And I have in studio with me Michelle Bachmann, former federal tax litigation attorney, served 8 years in the U.S. House of Representatives, Minnesota's 6th District. She was a member of the House Select Committee on Intelligence. She has conferred with world leaders on terrorism and on the issues of our time. She was a candidate for president in 2012. Michelle Bachmann, welcome back to the program. Always nice to have you in studio like this.
Thank you. It's a privilege for me to be here today.
And Michelle, so much to cover. And as I said, this is kind of part two. And I've seen this Iranian treaty agreement called all sorts of things, the worst diplomatic catastrophe in history. I've seen an article you've written, and we'll refer to it, and you call it embarrassing, foolhardy, tragic. You call it clownish, buffoonish. I could go on and on. And as we talked off air, we were commenting on how incredible it is that it seemed in these negotiations that America was negotiating for Iran. And that's your take too, correct?
It really is. And one thing I want to make clear to people on this program, this isn't about being against President Obama or against Democrats or against his administration. This is so much more important than politics. This is really about what our world will look like, because we aren't talking about fundamentally transforming the United States. We're talking about fundamentally transforming the world with this agreement. We need to never forget that Iran is the leading top, there's no one in their league, top state sponsor of terrorism in the world today. And the fact is, they remain the leading sponsor of terror. And the fact is, this agreement that was just concluded negotiating, this agreement ensures that Iran will have nuclear bomb capability within 10 years' time.
Exactly. But right after the announcement was made by the president in mid-July, the UN Security Council came in and was all gung-ho for it as well. And it seems like, and the Bible talks a lot about this, particularly in an end times context, that there's going to be a lot of strong delusion in the end time. Because, and I raised this question with Avi Lipkin as well, some of these nations in the UN Security Council that went along with it, they're right in the sights of some of these Iranian ICBMs. Germany, France, Great Britain, all of these countries, not the least of which is America, could have nuclear weapons dropped on them through Iranian ICBMs. And yet everyone's going along with this other than some conservatives in Washington. But we talked about strong delusion, and that seemed to register with you too.
Well, yes, and I think we also need to understand the nations of the world. And I think it's very difficult for Americans to understand, because we live in a nation that historically has been built on a Judeo-Christian ethic. We've been built upon the rule of law, and we believe in honesty and court systems and justice. Much of the world is completely different. It is built on a system of corruption. If you try to determine who do these these nations see as their number one enemy. Russia sees the United States as their number one enemy, as does China, as does North Korea, as does Iran. These nations see the United States as their enemy and Israel as their enemy.
Right.
And it isn't too far-fetched to think that these nations of the world who would like to see nothing but trouble come to the United States and Israel, that they see in Iran a madman that would actually use a nuclear weapon to annihilate both Israel and the United States. That might tend to forward the goals of these other nations. Now, it's also important to note that if the other nations have other interests as well, and it's economic, they see that in Iran, they could do a lot of deals and make a lot of money. And so very quickly, if they haven't already, Russia, China, Iran, the UK, Germany, France, they're going to be rushing into Iran to sign long-term agreements to benefit themselves, but they'll also be benefiting Iran. Again, Iran being the leading state sponsor of terror. And this Iranian agreement is so bad and so detrimental on so many different levels. We need to know that immediately once the agreement is passed and put into effect, the economic sanctions that have hurt Iran economically and held them back from developing their nuclear program, those sanctions will be immediately lifted. Whether Iran continues to engage in terrorism or not, Iran will receive about $150 billion immediately out of the gate. What does that mean? Well, in the United States, our economy is about $16 trillion a year. That would be like the United States receiving $8 trillion, a windfall of $8 trillion. Imagine what that would do for the United States. Can you imagine Iran having an infusion of something analogous, something that would equal about $8 trillion to the United States? $150 billion, everyone agrees, won't be used to build women's universities or teaching women how to drive cars in Iran. This money is going to be used to continue to finance terrorism, because as we're having this conversation today in August, Iran is financing terrorism, whether it's in Yemen or whether it's in Lebanon or against Israel or backing the Muslim Brotherhood dominated Hamas in Gaza or in Iraq or in Syria. Iran is backing terrorism also across the world. One thing that I should mention, Iran isn't just based in the Middle East to conduct terrorism. Iran has also been engaging in deals in our hemisphere with Argentina, Venezuela, and also with Cuba. So I think it's particularly troubling that President Obama is lifting the state sponsor of terror status in effect, in a practical way, both with Iran and with Cuba, because Iran has had dealings with Cuba as well, and we could potentially be inviting nuclear activity to return to the island of Cuba, which is why in the first place Cuba was put on the list of the state sponsor of terror.
I want to go down just a little bit different path here, and that is ask you this, because America now says, in the treaty, it says that we're actually obligated to sort of protect Iran from any aggressors, and that could be cyber aggressors, but that could be Israeli planes going over there to take something out. America is now going to be coming, at least that's what it says in the treaty, America's going to come against that. What do you make
this
of that?
This is almost impossible to believe.
I know, but
For years, we have worked with other countries to make sure that Iran did not achieve a nuclear bomb, because we know what they will do with it. They say it over and over again, death to America, death to Israel. So we have actively tried to defeat their gaining a nuclear weapon. What is unbelievable is that we historically did everything we could to prevent Iran from getting a nuclear bomb. This agreement turns the tables. Now the United States and international agreements ensures that we will not only ensure that Iran gets a nuclear bomb, but will essentially help to pay them to do it by putting this $150 billion plus in their hands. And whereas we tried to prevent Iran from getting a nuclear bomb in the past with maybe cyber activity, now the United States will teach and train Iran in workshops and training sessions how to defeat sabotage against Iran's nuclear program. Well, who would try to sabotage Iran's nuclear program? Someone who didn't sign on to this agreement. That would be Israel. Israel would be the one nation that's been designated as a target by Iran for death. They would be trying to survive and they would be trying to defeat the program. But now the United States has agreed that we will help Iran defeat any nation, presumably including Israel, who would try to sabotage Iran's program. The United States will even be teaching Iran how to develop advanced centrifuges.
That's right.
This is unbelievable.
See, I want to ask you also about these Russian S-300 missiles, because they are not installed yet. Actually, Iran's got to buy them, so Iran's waiting for this $150 billion so they can buy these missiles that will protect the Iranian fields from any kind of an attack by anybody, which would mainly be Israel, of course. So talk to us a little bit about that situation.
Sure. If your listeners recall, about a year ago, the Russians had blown out of the sky with their weapon. They were called Buk-15s. They blew out of the sky a Malaysian aircraft that had left Amsterdam. They blew it out of the sky over eastern Ukraine. 300 innocent people were killed in that airplane disaster. It was an intentional act. The S-300s are on the order of the Buk Russian equipment that blew that commercial airliner out of the sky. The only difference is the S-300s are even more powerful. So the Russians have entered into agreements with the Iranians beginning last fall, both to build Iran about 15 new nuclear sites, nuclear reactors, but they also are going to sell the Iranians the S-300s, which are anti-aircraft, anti-missile devices, so that if the United States or if Israel tried to fly in over Iran and destroy nuclear hardware, we then would become targets of this very powerful S-300 system. In other words, it would be virtually impossible, if not completely impossible, for the United States or for Israel to destroy the nuclear hardware. That's what is so important to recognize. We not only are going to actively help Iran build nuclear hardware and bombs, we will be paying Iran to build the nuclear hardware and bombs, and we'll be allowing Iran to defend itself against attacks from America or Israel or any other nation to stop these madmen from their goal, which they say almost on a daily basis,
right,
with crowds in Iran, death to America, death to Israel. And Jan, notice, when the Iranian Ayatollah is speaking, he's shouting two nations' names.
Right.
That he wants to see defeated, annihilated, and killed. Israel and the United States. You don't hear shouting, death to Zimbabwe, death to Chad. You hear death to Israel, death to America. And for us to put the means of execution into the hands of Iran and to nearly pay them to do so is beyond madness, beyond any delusion that anyone could imagine.
Folks, if you'd like to hear more, we're talking to Michelle Bachmann. She will be one of my speakers at Understanding the Times 2015, October 2nd, 3rd, just outside of Minneapolis, Minnesota. We're going to be live streaming it if you'd like to watch on your computer. You can do so for just $25. You'll have 30-day access along with Dr. Robert Jeffress, Pastor Jack Hibbs, and Amir Sarfati. And we'll be talking about all sorts of things to help you better understand the times. But that begs the question, Michelle, and you actually talked to Benjamin Netanyahu back in 2012, and you encouraged him to bomb Iran. You encouraged him to do it spring of 2012. So what do you think, based on some of your intelligence information and things that you can't share? Obviously, there are things you aren't able to share. What do you think Israel would do? That's part one. Part two of that question is, do you think they're even capable? They're going to have help, and maybe be the Saudis, which is certainly a strange alliance, but we're in the end times. How do you think this could play out?
Well, Israel will have to have help, and Israel will do whatever Israel needs to do to survive, as they must. I want to make it very clear that I am not advocating starting a war or bombing the Iranian people, as opposed to Iran, which has poised literally in excess of 100,000, perhaps as many as 200,000 rockets against innocent Israeli civilians.
Right.
They placed those in northern Lebanon under the authority of Hezbollah, their proxy in southern Lebanon. What's important to recognize is that probably one of the greatest acts of peace that we could advocate would be for the bombing of Iranian nuclear hardware. That would be taking out the materials of execution that Iran wants to use to annihilate people in Israel and innocent civilians like us in the United States. So wouldn't it make more sense for us to remove the weapons of war, weapons of mass destruction from Mad Men? That is what I was advocating that Prime Minister Netanyahu use in early 2012 when I thought it was the right time for him to remove the nuclear hardware. Because I saw that President Obama, through the negotiations, would be strengthening Iran's hands. At this point, we are looking at making Iran a nuclear power and a menace not only to the Middle East, but a menace to the entire world. That is why, as I shared to you on a previous program, my last act as a member of Congress, speaking to President Obama in December of 2014, I urged President Obama personally in a private conversation with him at the White House to bomb the Iranian nuclear hardware. That is not starting World War III. The president says there is no alternative to his deal, which his deal ensures World War III. It ensures it because you've got an actor with the will who wants war, and he is putting nuclear weaponry, more than one bomb, in his hands. So he's ensuring World War III. I want to prevent World War III. The only way at this point that we could do that, we can't sweet talk the Iranians out of their nuclear ambitions. At this point, we have to remove the weapon of war, and that would be the sane use of our military equipment, which we do have the equipment that today could remove everything that we're aware of that they have for nuclear capability. Israel has capabilities, very strong capabilities, to remove, I believe, much of Iran's nuclear hardware. However, what I am concerned about is that President Obama has saber-rattled already toward Prime Minister Netanyahu. And I think that the signal that President Obama has said is that if Israel decides to go and themselves take out the nuclear hardware, my fear is that President Obama would interfere with that effort and perhaps prevent Israel from going forward and taking out Iran's nuclear hardware. Now, that's a complete turnaround for where the United States is. Think of what we're talking about. Yeah. We're talking about a prior Democrat president, Harry Truman, who stood for the Jewish state of Israel, who 11 minutes after Israel declared her sovereignty in May of 1948, that Democrat president said, "We are going to recognize you as a sovereign state, and we're going to have your back." Now we have a president, a Democrat president, who's completely flipped on Israel, and he's doing everything in his power to put weapons of mass destruction, the most lethal weapons known to man, in the hands of Israel's greatest enemy, Iran. And that enemy states, like I said, on a daily basis, they will use them to annihilate Israel, their innocent civilians. And what I am advocating at this point, our option, the easiest, cleanest option, is to remove the nuclear hardware. The U.S. should do that today. We should do it in conjunction with Israel, with the Saudis, with the United Arab Emirate, with the Kuwaitis. Yep. We do have partners who would help us in that effort. We could get this done. I'm not advocating that we murder the Iranian people, but that we remove the nuclear hardware. We can do it. We should do it. That would prevent a World War III.
Well, again, Iran can do in 12 minutes what it took Hitler to do 12 years, as it concerns the Jews. But again, what you and I keep referring to is it is not just Israel that is in the crosshairs. It is actually the free world that's in the crosshairs of these ICBMs from Iran. Because what goes on an ICBM? A nuclear weapon. I want to read, and then we're going to take our first break. I want to read, and I read this last week with Avi Lipkin. It's something to think about. It's written by Jim Hutchins of the Jerusalem Connection. He says, what has not been noted is the fact that our narcissistic, self-absorbed president has prematurely achieved his demonic obsession for a legacy. He will be known throughout eternity as the one who jump-started the process that produced the largest and most destructive nuclear holocaust of humanity, the slaughter of a third of mankind, over 2 1/3 billion people. Read Revelation 6:13-19. We'll say more about this from a biblical perspective in just a few minutes. I'm coming back in a couple of minutes. Don't go away.
Thanks for joining us for today's Understanding the Times. We know you're enjoying Jan's discussion of the Iranian nuclear agreement with Michelle Bachmann. Please remember, all current and past releases of this program can be downloaded from our website at olivetreeviews.org. Or you can order archive programs on compact disc by phoning 763-559-4444. When you visit our website, you'll discover a treasure trove of information on current events, on upcoming conferences, and much, much more. Again, just click on to olivetreeviews.org. At a time when giving drops off for most ministries, some of you have been so kind to assist us financially through these summer months. We want to say thank you. We appreciate all of you who help us remain on over 800 radio stations across America so we can continue to bring you programs like you're hearing today. Please continue to send your tax-deductible gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. We'll rejoin Michelle Bachman for more of today's program after this brief announcement about our fall conference. Our 19th Understanding the Times Conference is planned for October 2nd and 3rd in the Metro Minneapolis area, and we hope you can attend. The event will be live streamed this fall for a nominal cost. Watch our website for details. There is no cost or registration needed for our conference. Here is our lineup of speakers, Dr. Robert Jeffress.
My own reading of the Book of Revelation is, when I look at that final form of government in the world during the last 7 years, it is a dictatorship under Antichrist, in which there is no freedom of commerce, no freedom of speech, no freedom of religion, which means when the Antichrist takes power, our Constitution will have had to have been done away with by that point. And once the Constitution ceases to exist, America ceases to exist.
Pastor Jack Hibbs.
In all that's going on in the world right now, believe it or not, God is at work. He's preparing things. We are not sensationalists on one end. We're not skeptics on the other end. What are we? We're watching God set the stage.
Former Congresswoman Michelle Bachman.
As we look at this situation with Iran, we already have history that nuclear facilities have successfully been taken out historically. So we know that that's how you stop a nuclear program. You bomb it. People say, well, you'll start World War III. That's what Bill O'Reilly said to me. Well, I'm just here to say, Iran wants to start World War III.
Amir Sarfati.
And so once you see that the people of Israel miraculously were brought back to their land, then you know that we're at the very last hour. And we are, ever since 1948.
Won't you join 3,000 attendees this fall? We will help you understand the times, contend for the faith, and be watchmen on the wall. We live in unprecedented times. Join us as we unravel today's headlines in light of the Bible. For more information, call us at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Or visit our website, olivetreeviews.org.
There are few places today where you'll find straight talk on real issues with real solutions. Every weekend, we talk solutions according to the Bible. We are Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell.
The most important national security event in my lifetime.
My lifetime as well.
And it's this. All the nations of the world signed an agreement that slams the door against Israel and opened it up to enriching and empowering the leading state sponsor of terror in the world, whose ultimate goal is the annihilation of the Jewish state.
That is Zechariah 12:3, folks. That has been predicted.
So fortunate to have Michelle Bachman in our Understanding the Times studios again to help us understand a perspective you won't get on your local news station. Now Michelle and Jan continue their conversation about current events that are changing our world. Once again, Jan Markell.
And welcome back. And as I said, I have in studio Michelle Bachman, who comes in, well, rather regularly to give us an update on her perspective on how the issues of the day are playing out, and primarily from a biblical perspective. And she, as you may remember, ran for president in 2012. Any regrets about that, Michelle?
No, I am so grateful that I ran for president because I made a distinct contribution.
You did, hugely. Do you see any conservative candidate, let's just say this treaty goes through, any conservative candidate who would rescind it?
I do. I believe that there are candidates mm-hmm. who are running today who actually would do what needs to be done, and that's remove the nuclear hardware. I think in the days and weeks ahead, that will be a question that will be posed to the candidates,
yes.
All of the candidates, including Hillary Clinton. And at this point, that is the only answer that we have for stopping Iran from gaining a nuclear weapon, because the agreement that President Obama and the other nations nations of the world signed ensures, guarantees that Iran does mm-hmm. have the nuclear weapon. Not only that, but is financially able and strong enough to be able to use that weapon and mount a vigorous defense. Iran will be lifted up and empowered. Their imperialistic ambitions mm-hmm. for a global caliphate can be realized by them having this type of access to weapons of mass destruction.
Absolutely. They have an apocalyptic view. They're waiting for their 12th Imam. The 12th Imam comes in riding in on chaos. They would love for chaos.
Well, their religion perfectly matches up with holding on to a nuclear weapon, but not only that, using it. One thing we've seen with the nations that hold nuclear weapons today is an unwillingness to use the nuclear weapon, almost a commitment not to use the nuclear
weapon. That's exactly right.
The difference with Iran is they are committed to using the nuclear weapon to annihilate the Jewish state of Israel and annihilate the United States. And I will tell you, Prime Minister Netanyahu has said to me personally, he has said, you need to remember, we are the little Satan in Iran's eyes, meaning Israel. The United States is the great Satan in Iran's eyes. And so he said, they already have missile capacity, because don't forget that Iran is the nation that has the greatest number of missiles in the Middle East, and they use them. They're very smart people. And he said, they already have missiles that can reach Israel. They didn't have missiles that could reach the United States. The reason why Iran is bent on having an intercontinental ballistic missile, and what is completely inexplicable about the president's agreement to lift the embargo, meaning that Iran today has no ability to access intercontinental ballistic missiles. Those are missiles that can get to the United States.
Right.
They go across nations, that can make it across the ocean. They don't have that capability today. Why in the world would we agree to give Iran not only nuclear bombs, but the means to deliver bombs to our backyard in America? And why would we give them economic stability, which $150 billion plus potentially $1 trillion worth of contracts and oil sales and all the rest? Why would we so empower and enrich Iran, which has an apocalyptic view?
Well, I'm not sure if you're asking a rhetorical question or if you have another answer to the questions that you're asking. I think conservative and righteous people all across the world are asking the question that you're asking there. And as we opened the program, U.S. foreign policy is now negotiating on behalf of Iran. Granted, we're an upside-down, topsy-turvy world. Up is down, down is up, black is white, etc. Can you answer the questions you just raised?
Well, no one knows the thoughts and intentions of the president's heart. The reason why I asked that question is because it's madness.
Yes, I realize that.
It is
that.
Madness. It is going against the best interests of the American civilian population. It goes against the best interests of our economic situation. It goes against the best interests of America's military posture. As is important, it goes against the best interests of our greatest ally, which is the Jewish state of Israel. It makes no sense. But think of what this Iran agreement does. It not only empowers Iran, but what it does is it puts Israel in the crosshairs. And that's why what happened in mid to late July, on Monday, immediately after the nuclear agreement was announced,
July 20th.
President Obama, through his UN Security Council ambassador, Samantha Power, it was reported that Samantha Power was running around the UN Security Council before the agreement was even announced to Congress. Before it was even announced to the American people, she was running around to her colleagues in the Security Council with copies of the agreement saying, get ready to sign, get ready to sign. The agreement was announced to the American people. The Obama administration did not post the words contained in the agreement. It was the Iranian mullahs that posted on the internet the terms of the agreement. That's how we know what's in it.
Mm-hmm.
The Obama administration was going to keep the terms of the agreement hidden from members of Congress and from the American public. It was the Iranian mullahs who were laughing like hyenas because they got absolutely everything they wanted. We got nothing that we wanted. Remember, from the very beginning, President Obama said, we're going to dismantle the Iranian nuclear program. In other words, we're going to put it out of of business. They won't be enriching uranium, the fuel for nuclear bombs. They won't have a nuclear program. We're going to dismantle this thing. Well, instead of dismantling, now we're going to give them training and workshops and how to defeat anyone who tried to sabotage them. We're going to give them money to build the program. We're going to give them our technical knowledge and expertise to build more advanced centrifuges. We're going to make this thing happen.
We're going to make it happen.
And so, as I was saying, just as this agreement was being announced at the UN Security Council, the following Monday after the agreement, for the very first time, the most important national security event in my lifetime
occurred. Lifetime as well.
And it's this. All the nations of the world signed an agreement that slams the door against Israel and opened it up to enriching and empowering the leading state sponsor of terror in the world, whose ultimate goal is the annihilation of the Jewish state.
That is Zechariah 12:3, folks. That has been predicted for lots and lots
and
of years.
It happened July 20th, 2015.
That's exactly right. It
happened
July
20th. With the United States leading that charge.
And there, again, I said it earlier, there are consequences to doing things like this against God's covenant land. There are horrible consequences. And then you throw in some other things, such as, we're not going there today, the Supreme Court decision back in late June, and a lot of other things, and we're not, judgment isn't just coming, judgment is already here. Folks, if you just joined me, you're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell, and I have in studio the familiar voice of Michelle Bachman, and she has written a brilliant article, which I will post to As Heard on the Radio. That's olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org. It first appeared back on July 14th, WorldNet Daily at WND.com. You can find it at As Heard on the Radio, Western Christendom Bows to Shia Islam. And it's an exclusive. Michelle Bachman takes aim at the clownish, embarrassing agreement with Iran. Find that on my website, As Heard on the Radio. And she's got everything broken down very simply and easy to understand, sort of the insanity of all of this that's going on. But before we just dwell on things that might be hopeless, we've got to dwell on the biblical perspective. But also, this isn't a done deal. As you and I speak, this still can be overturned. So talk to us about that.
It can. And I am really actually extremely excited because I think that we are about to see, if we believers act in concert, I believe that we could see the strong right arm of a holy God show to the world and prove to the world his power and his strength. He is the Lord of heaven's armies. That is his name. And what we have now, the largest pro-Israel group in the United States called AIPAC has made this their number one effort. They have never gone all out like they are now in defeating this Iran agreement. They're putting, I am told, about $40 million in resources aimed squarely at the 535 members of Congress. There are 100 senators and 435 members of Congress. Every one of your listeners, Jan, has two senators who represent them, and they have one member of the House of Representatives who will vote on this bill. So there are three people that every one of your listeners need to contact. And this is one thing that I am suggesting. I am suggesting that during the month of August, that is the recess. That is when the senators and the members of Congress are back in the district, back where your listeners live, and they hold town hall meetings. And I am suggesting that you immediately call your representative and your senator and tell them you want a personal face-to-face meeting. Download my column that's on Jan's site. I have the particulars of the Iranian agreement in that column. You can get more information from other individuals and ask the senator or ask the representative, how can you possibly support an agreement whereby the leaders of this country seek to annihilate the United States and annihilate Israel? How could this be good for American foreign policy? Because this will start World War III. And I think one of the ways to do that is get together people in your church, get together people in your Bible study, ask your pastor, could we have a meeting here in our church? That's legal, by the way. Your senator and your your representative can come to your church and speak to you, or go to a community center, or have them host them in your backyard. I've done that before. I've held town hall meetings. This is the most consequential treaty and foreign policy agreement ever in the history of the United States. When we have AIPAC that is committing $40 million and their membership toward defeating this agreement, they are targeting all members of Congress. I believe we can get no votes. I was on a call this morning with a Democrat member of Congress who has come out and said that he is against this agreement. He is one of the most far left, politically left members of Congress I know. But he read the agreement. He read it. He told me he was in a three-hour fight, literally fight, with other Democrat members of Congress last night. They were for the agreement. He said to them, "Have you read it?" And they said no, that they thought they were told that this was about politics, that this was about people who don't like Barack Obama, and this was about Barack Obama because he's black, and people oppose Barack Obama, and they oppose him being black, and they're trying to bring down the president's great foreign policy agreement. This is one of the most far-left members of the House saying, that isn't what this is about. He said, "I read the agreement. This makes Iran a nuclear power, and it puts us, not just our children and grandchildren, it puts our lives at risk from a nuclear-powered Iran that could reach the United States and kill millions of innocent civilians, but it could also take out Israel. We need to recognize this is the most important agreement in our lifetime. We need to defeat it." That's coming from a Democrat. Yeah. I actually believe, Jan, that if we get on our knees and if we cry out to Holy God, that He will hear from heaven and that we actually could see the United States defeat it. Now, you will hear people on TV say, well, if the United States defeats it, you'll still have Russia and China and all these other nations that will pull sanctions away, and Iran will still get a nuclear weapon. Not so. 60% of all banking transactions in the world go through the United States of America. If the United States of America puts sanctions back on Iran, that is crippling. Trust me, corporations around the world want to be able to continue to do business with the United States more than they want to do business with the Ayatollahs in Iran.
Thank you for clarifying that. But I want to ask you a question right here that I know is in the minds of the audience, because I hear from them, and it's related to what we're talking about, because we've got Republicans that aren't going to push back. So let me broaden that whole question. But why do the Republicans push back so little against the Barack Obama agenda? Is it money? Is it fear? And you sat in that Congress for 8 years. Why do you think it is?
The short answer on all of this is self-interest.
Okay.
And I don't mean to be condemning anyone when I say that, but I will tell you from my vantage point, what I saw is that members of the House and members of the Senate had different perches that they found very comfortable in Congress, whether it's holding a gavel as a committee chairman or a subcommittee chairman, or whether they just like being a member of Congress or being a member of the Senate, or they don't like to be criticized and they like to be patted on the back, or they like to get certain donations from certain groups, or they don't want to have a primary opponent. There's a lot of different reasons why people don't push back. But I will tell you, having been there, it is the rare bird that pushes back against their party leadership. And that's why right now, with so much at stake, with the survival of the Jewish state of Israel and with the survival of America, quite frankly,
absolutely,
in the crosshairs, this is our time to recognize we aren't living in ordinary times. We are not living in ordinary days. And so we have got to stand up now and demand of our House of Representatives and our senators that they listen to us. And again, I would recommend let everyone you know what the truth is about what this Iran agreement means for Israel and America. And I'm not trying to just brag about my own article, but this article that Jan has posted gives you in very simple form the simple parameters of what is incomprehensible about no one, no sane person can get behind this agreement. This agreement ensures that the United States will be under attack and Israel will be under attack by the Ayatollah in Iran.
Okay, well said, Michelle. I asked a blunt question. You gave me a very, very good answer. I appreciate that. The audience appreciates it as well. Folks, there is without a doubt a biblical take on all of this, and that would take another couple of hours, but just some things that I have seen as I peruse everything here now for many weeks. It certainly expands the Russian-Iranian cooperation, and that is outlined in Ezekiel 38:39. They're going to be strong partners as they come against Israel at some time. We do not know when that will happen. Could be tomorrow, could be 10 years, could be longer. It's a greater fulfillment, as Michelle has brilliantly said, the isolation of Israel, Zechariah 12:3. In her isolation, she will be forced to call out to God. And it honestly, if this goes through, I think it renders America inconsequential as an end time player, and it's why we don't see America playing into the last days. And we'll have some other things to talk about as it concerns things from a biblical perspective. Obviously, if this goes through, the word perilous times takes on new meaning. You've got the rogue renegade nation of Iran with ICBMs, with nuclear weapons attached to them, aimed at every free city, every free country in the world. So that is perilous times. And I like to say that the world took a huge leap back on July 14th, again ratified by the UN Security Council July 20th, towards a nuclear apocalypse, the days of the Antichrist and the time of Jacob's trouble. But we'll have some more positive things when we wrap this program up here in just a minute or two. I know Michelle wants to go into the Bible to reveal what she has found as she has sought the Lord as to how to interpret this from the words of the Bible. What is God saying to her? What's God saying to you? Email me, Jan@OliveTreeViews. If you'd like to weigh into all this, just write to me, and I'll read those responses at another time. I'm coming back in just a minute or two. You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. Again, if you like what you hear and you'd like to hear more, come on out October 2nd, 3rd, Grace Church, Eden Prairie, Minnesota, right outside Minneapolis. We'll have Dr. Robert Jeffress, Michelle Bachman, Pastor Jack Hibbs, and Amir Sarfati. There's no cost, no registration. You just show up, and it will be live streamed for just $25 for 30-day access. OliveTreeViews.org. Don't go away. Coming right back.
Please stay with us. This hour of insight concludes as Michelle Bachman shares a strong word of encouragement from the Scriptures. First, a quick reminder. Michelle will be one of our speakers at our next Metro Minneapolis conference this fall. Save the dates, October 2nd and 3rd. Plan now to attend this world-class conference on current events and end times Bible prophecy. If you cannot be there in person for the very first time, you'll be able to watch each conference session live on the internet. Find out how to get the October conference streamed to your home at olivetreeviews.org. Again, we want to thank our faithful listeners for helping us continue to grow this radio outreach throughout the nation. We feel it's our mission to reach as many people as we can while there's still time. Bringing the USA the kind of messages like you're hearing today is critical for being active and informed as a Christian. Would you consider becoming our financial partner? It takes all of you joining the Understanding the Times team in bringing the inconvenient truth to this country. Would you consider helping us with a tax-deductible donation to our mission of telling America the truth? Please send your gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. Thank you for your prayerful and financial support.
Recently, Holocaust survivor Anita Dittman received the Heroine of the Faith Award from Bot Radio Network at National Religious Broadcasters. Now, you can read or view her amazing story for a donation of any amount to Olive Tree Ministries. If you live in the U.S., just ask for her book or 75-minute documentary DVD as our gift to you to keep our radio ministry on the air this summer. Anita has powerfully moved audiences for 35 years all across America and on Christian Radio and TV. It is a God-exalting story which I had the privilege of writing for Tyndale House some years ago. It is now updated, and the DVD by George Escobar is stunning. Write us with your tax-deductible donation at Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. You can also give online at olivetreeviews.org or call us at 763-559-4444, 763-559-4444.
We're not talking about Iran just achieving their goal of a nuclear weapon. What we're talking about is Iran having the defensive capability
right.
to defeat an America or an Israel that wants to come in and destroy the nuclear hardware, which, again, that's the only way to end Iran's nuclear ambitions. You go in and you bomb and you take out the nuclear hardware. And I believe that as we, as believers in the God of Israel, cry out, it doesn't matter what the threats of these madmen are, like the Ayatollah in Iran. It doesn't matter what their threats are. And if we humble ourselves before His name, He will be our redemption. His strong arm, the Lord of Heaven's armies, is His name. And He will be the one to rescue the remnant.
For the conclusion of today's Understanding the Times, let's return now to Jan Markell and Michelle Bachman.
And welcome back. And we're wrapping up our session with Michelle Bachman in studio with me. And again, I'll refer to her article as we go out of the program, but it is on olivetreeviews.org. And just go to As Heard on the Radio. It sums up what we've been talking about this hour. And Michelle, off air, we've been talking about the fact that Prime Minister Netanyahu is probably going to have no other option than to act, whether it's alone, whether it's with the Saudis, whether it's with the Emirates, all of them put together. We don't know. We don't know the details. You don't know the details. We do know that he's being pushed into a corner. He's going to have no choice. And, you know, it's easy for Americans who are pro-Israel, Christians particularly, or just pro-Israel, Christian or not, to wave an Israeli flag and say, I'm pro-Israel. And then all of a sudden, everything hits the fan and things get really ugly. Gas goes to $8, $9, $10 a gallon. And are they going to stick with Israel when things get really ugly? And they could get ugly as soon as in the next few weeks to a few months.
Well, right, because again, we're not talking about Iran just achieving their goal of a nuclear weapon. What we're talking about is Iran having the defensive capability
right.
to defeat an America or an Israel that wants to come in and destroy the nuclear hardware, which again, that's the only way to end Iran's nuclear ambitions. You go in and you bomb and you take out the nuclear hardware. Well, President Obama has chosen to date yeah. not to do that. That would be the only option for Prime Minister Netanyahu. If he believed that he needed to secure the Jewish state, he would have to do whatever it took to go in and make that happen. Once Iran has defensive capability, and we know that Russia is in the process of selling that capability
right.
to Iran, that kind of closes the window for Israel. So it isn't that Iran has to have the nuclear weapons. It's the very fact that Israel would be defeated from even coming
That's
in
right.
and taking,
That's
having
right.
any
Thank
option.
Thank you for clarifying.
So it's that could happen very, very soon. And as I had said previously in this hour, according to the agreement that President Obama and the other nations have struck with Iran, Iran within 10 years is assured of having nuclear capability. 10 years. In my opinion, based upon what I have seen and my experiences, I think it will be long before 10 years. That Iran has a
Absolutely.
Nuclear capability.
After Israel
all,
knows that.
This year, a photo was taken of an ICBM in Iran, an intercontinental ballistic missile. So I think this is going to come very fast, their capability, because they'll be enriched and all the rest. Now, these are very, very bad indicators that we're talking about. Iran has the will. The most important thing, to use nuclear weapons against the United States. They will have money to be able to finance that. They will have capability. They will have partners, unbelievably, including the U.S., helping them create their nuclear bombs and defeating Israel or anyone else who would want to sabotage. That's the kind of unbelievable, you couldn't even make this up scenario
No.
that is our current reality if this goes forward. Now, we do have a window of opportunity because Congress is going to vote on whether they're going to approve or disapprove in September. This is what the Lord showed me yesterday when I was having my time in the Word of God. It is in 2 Kings 19, and I encourage your listeners to get out their Bibles and read this section of Scripture, because we had one of the most vicious terrorist kings in all of history. His name was King Sennacherib. King Sennacherib was on a terroristic warpath, going in and marauding one nation after another and defeating those nations. He was full of himself, and he was going to come against Israel. And King Sennacherib sent a letter to King Hezekiah. King Sennacherib's area of dominion included northern Iraq in the ancient city of Nineveh. That was Sennacherib's capital. He was coming against Jerusalem in particular, but against the Jewish people in Israel. He sent a letter to King Hezekiah. And in verse 10, it says, "This message is for King Hezekiah of Judah. Don't let your God, our God, in whom you trust, deceive you with promises that Jerusalem will not be captured by the king of Assyria. You know perfectly well what the kings of Assyria have done. Wherever they've gone, they've completely destroyed everyone who stood in their way. So why should you be any different? Have the gods of other nations rescued them?" And he goes on, "Don't think your God will help you." Hezekiah got this letter. And so what Hezekiah did is he went up to the Lord's temple in Jerusalem. He spread this threatening letter out before the Lord, and he prayed before God. He said, "O Lord, God of Israel, you're enthroned between the mighty cherubim. You alone are God of all the kingdoms of the earth. You alone created the heavens and the earth. Bend down, O Lord, and listen. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. Listen to Sennacherib's words of defiance against you, the living God." He went on to say, "It's true, God. The kings of Assyria have destroyed all these nations. They've thrown all these other gods down, but they weren't gods at all. They were only idols of wood and stone. Now, O Lord, our God, rescue us from this power. Then all the kingdoms of the earth will know that you alone, O Lord, are God." What did Hezekiah do? Hezekiah recognized that our God is the only true living God, and that we would have no other gods against us. Isaiah was the prophet in the time of Hezekiah, and Isaiah came forth, and Isaiah made his prophecy, and he said, "Here's the proof that you will know that God is true." And he gave his prophecy, and he said, "Those of you who are left in Judah, who escaped the ravages of the seed, you will put down roots in your own soil. You will grow up. You will flourish. For a remnant of my people will spread out from Jerusalem, a group of survivors from Mount Zion." And this we know happened. "The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen." And this is what he did. And then Isaiah goes on to say, what will happen to the king of Assyria who raised his fist against our God? He ultimately, God said, "For my honor and for the sake of my servant David, I will defend this city and protect it." And what did God do? That night, the angel of the Lord went out to the Assyrian camp. He killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. And when the surviving Assyrians woke up the next morning, they found corpses everywhere. Then King Sennacherib of Assyria broke camp, returned to his land, and went home to his capital, Nineveh, modern-day Mosul, in northern Iraq, and he stayed there. And then his sons came in and killed him. You see, the God of Heaven's army, the Lord of Heaven's army, he was the protector of Israel. And I believe, Jan, that as we as believers in the God of Israel cry out like Hezekiah did in humbling himself before God, it doesn't matter what the threats of these madmen are, like the Ayatollah in Iran. It doesn't matter what their threats are. If we cry out to the Lord of Heaven's army, he will do likewise. He is not partial. What God does for one, he will do for all. And if we humble ourselves before his name, he will be our redemption. He will be our redeemer. His strong arm, the Lord of Heaven's armies, is his name. And he will be the one to rescue the remnant. It is foretold. It is promised. And that is where we want to be in the shadow and in the light stream of the Lord of Heaven's armies. Blessed be his name.
Thank you, Michelle. And Joel Rosenberg recently wrote on his blog, and this ties in with things you've been talking about, and he wrote that he's watching the darkest headlines ever in his life, and you and I are watching them too. And yet, if we look with more of a biblical perspective, and particularly an end time perspective, no matter how dark those headlines are, we still are privileged to live in a generation where the Bible is coming true minute by minute, hour by hour.
Amen. Dark by standards of the natural.
Yeah.
Dark by standards of the natural. No one wants to. We live in the natural.
Yeah.
We live in this world. But you're exactly right. We are so encouraged because God has given us His Word.
Mm-hmm.
He has given us His assurance. We know how this is going to turn out.
Yeah.
And as the prophets foretold, the prophets longed to live in this
they
day.
Did. They
that
did.
You,
you
and
took
I are
my words
to
away.
In.
You took my words away. We sit here and we kind of groan because we look at, again, this foreign policy, which to the natural mind is insanity. It truly is. But for some reason,
but from a biblical
perspective,
the Lord has allowed us to see
yeah.
how He is using politics. He's using leaders. He's using politicians. He's using foreign policy in that to bring about where we are today.
Yeah.
Not that it's God's choice.
Yes.
Evil. Not that it is
yeah.
His choice, yeah. but He has given us revelation. He has given us revelation through His Word to be comforted, to look up, and also to take our lives before Him and to do what Hezekiah did,
yes.
to bow before Him, confess our sins, cry out to the God of the universe, the Lord of heaven's armies. And just like Sennacherib was defeated, ultimately our God will rescue the remnant in the way that only He can. And He will have His way.
Come on out, folks. October 2nd and 3rd. We'll be talking about things like this. We promise to try to keep you uplifted, not just hit you with the kind of the heavy news of the day, though we talk about that too with Dr. Robert Jeffress, Michelle Bachman, Pastor Jack Hibbs, and Amir Sarfati from Israel, who will give us some information. Amir has told me that he will be talking about some of the things we've talked about here today on this program. Michelle, thank you for coming in today. It's been great, again, getting your perspective. And
thank you.
I know folks are looking, and folks, remember, our first hotel sold out in May. Our next two hotels are selling out extremely fast. Don't wait. Please act even today. Give my office a call or go online, olivetreeviews.org. Go to conferences and get your reservation in, get live streaming info. And let me just say this going out of the program that, you know, there's coming a day, it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:3, when people will be saying peace and safety, but what follows isn't a very pretty scenario. So ultimately that has to play out, the things that are talked about for the very, very end of time. So we're in the closing days of the church age, and we are looking up. Everybody in this studio at this time is looking up for the Lord's return. But you need to ask if you are ready to meet the King of Kings, because if not, would you please seek out a pastor or a friend to discuss this most important decision of your life? Thanks for listening, and we will talk to you next week.
Thank you for joining us for Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. You can download today's edition from our website, olivetreeviews.org. You can also order a compact disc recording of today's program by calling 763-559-4444. On your phone, be sure to ask about our monthly subscription plan. You can help underwrite this ministry with a tax-deductible donation. As a thank you for your support, we are still offering Anita Dittman's biography, Trapped in Hitler's Hell. Anita's book or her 75-minute video documentary can be yours for a gift to Olive Tree Ministries of any size. When you phone 763-559-4444 with your gift, tell us if you'd prefer Anita's book or her DVD. This offer is for USA residents only. Your financial support is also welcome at our mailing address, Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. Next week, Jan Markell returns with more Inconvenient Truth. Thanks for listening.